I invite your attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 1. The Gospel according to John chapter 1. My text will be found in verses 11 through 13. My message is titled, Christ Rejected and Received by Men. But before we read our text in verses 11, 12, and 13, I need to begin at verse number 1. And if you do not have a Bible, there are Bibles on that table on the back. And help yourself to them. The black covered Bibles, help yourself to them. You can follow along with us. John's Gospel chapter 1 and in verse number 1. We read, In the beginning. What beginning? The beginning. The beginning of beginnings. The beginning of all things. In the beginning, when everything that came into existence began, we read, was the Word already here, or I should say already there. In the beginning, already was the Word. He existed before all things else were made. He was in existence when everything else began. He must be eternal. He is. He is eternal. He existed in old eternity, in eternity past. When this world came into existence, He already was here. In fact, He brought this all into existence. In the beginning was the Word. What is a word? A word is a vehicle of communication. I've got something on my mind right now. In fact, I have something in my heart that I want you to know. Can you tell me what it is? You say, no, we cannot read your mind. Speak some words to describe it. That's what a word does. You're going to know what's on my mind and in my heart by the words that I speak. I can tell you what's on my mind and in my heart. How do I do it? I use words. These are vehicles of communication. In the beginning was the Word. And it's a person. It's a person. The Word. God's got something on His mind and in His heart. And He wants us to know what it is. Can you read God's mind? No. God will have to let you know what's on His mind. How will He do it? He does it with His Word. Who is His Word? It's Jesus Christ. If you want to know what's on God's mind and what's in God's heart, listen to Jesus Christ. He not only speaks the words, He is the Word. If you look at Jesus Christ and if you see Him, you're going to see what God is thinking. You're going to see what is on God's mind. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. There were two persons in existence. before the world came into creation. Two persons. There's one called the Word, and he was with God, the second person. There's a third person there too, but we don't need to talk about him today. You know who he is, I'm sure. Anyway, it's the Holy Spirit. But the emphasis here is that in the beginning, already in existence was the Word, and the Word was with God. That word "with" is a Greek pronoun pros, and it means face to face. And it means that the Word and His Father were like this, as close together as they could be. The Word was face to face in sweet communion with God. Are you with me thus far? You don't have a problem with anything I've said thus far, have you? Okay. Does this give you a problem? "And the Word was God." Anybody got a problem with that? Oh, there's a lot of people got a problem with that. A lot of people. They come through your neighborhood with their parasols and briefcases and want to come talk to you. Ask them about this verse. Ask them, does it say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God"? No, that's not what it says. Folks, you just read it. Did you not? Did you not just read it? They're going to say, "No, no, no. It means..." Don't tell me what it means. I can read what it says. It says what it means. "No, no, no," they say, "the Word was a God." Oh. So the Word was not God. He was a God with God. Folks, that begs a question. That begs a question. Just how many gods do you have? I mean, if there is a God and another God with God, how many gods do you have? You don't believe there's only one, because you say the Word was a God with God. That's more than one God. Listen, folks. It means what it says. In the beginning, this one called the Word was with God, and He was God, and there's only one God. Now, preacher, I don't understand that. God does. God does. The Word does. And He came into the world to tell us these things. He was in the beginning. Just in case you did not catch it the first time. It's repeated. He was in the beginning with God. Who was? The Word was. The Word, who was God, was with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Some people say, "Well, Jesus Christ is not God because He was created." Really? He was created. Yeah. They say the Bible says He was the first creation of God. Really? That's what they say. That's what they say. So God created Jesus Christ. Yes. Did Jesus Christ create Himself? Oh no, that's impossible. That's impossible. That's true. And yet, what did you read? All things were made through or by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. Everything you see, these mountains, these oceans, trees, the grass, the rocks, Everything you see, Jesus Christ made it. He is the Word. All things were made by Him. Without Him or apart from Him, nothing, absolutely nothing was made. All right. Now, I have taken you now to eternity past, when there was in existence from eternity and eternity, eternally, the Word who was God with God. I have brought you to the creation, when the Word, the divine Word, the eternal Word, made the heavens and the earth. All things were made by Him. Now we're going to skip a few thousand years, and we're going to go back to a point in time about 2,000 years ago. And you'll read about this in verse number 14. And the Word became flesh. Now, do you understand that? That's easy to understand. It really is. The Word, who is God. That means He does not have a body. God does not have a body. God has no bone, no sinew, no skin, no muscle. He has none of those things because He's spirit. Pure spirit. The Word was God with God. The Word was pure spirit. Divine, just like His Father. He's going to come into the world. And the Word became flesh. Became flesh. What does that mean? By the miracle of His incarnation. Paul says, God was manifested in the flesh. That is stupendous. That's beyond my comprehension. And when I say stupendous, it has nothing to do with stupid. It simply means it's marvelous. It's awesome that in one moment, this one who is the Word is pure spirit. And in the next moment, he's in His mother's womb. Just like you were. And the Word became flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. Flesh. Had skin like ours. Muscle, sinew, blood, bone. In fact, He looked so much like everybody else. There was nothing about Him that made you say, there walks God. Notice in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world did not know Him. God manifested in the flesh, could walk into a synagogue and sit down with the rest of the people, and they did not know that was God sitting there. They did not know. The world did not recognize Him. God is walking on this earth, manifested in the flesh, and they do not know it. They do not know who He is. He just looks like another person. That's our Lord. That's our Lord, Jesus Christ. He dwelt among us. By the way, why should God want to live with us anyway? sinners, wicked, evil. Why would he want to live with us? That's the kind of people he loves. He came to save that kind of people. And we beheld his glory. Not everybody, but some did. Who beheld his glory? Only those to whom he revealed himself. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When he revealed himself to men, they realized who he is. He had to reveal himself, or they never would know. We have a veil over our faces, over our eyes. We're spiritually blind. We can't see. We can see him, you know, but as to who he is, there's a veil on our eyes. He must reveal himself before we can see him and know who he is. John says, we beheld him. Who beheld him? Those to whom he revealed himself. Unless Jesus Christ reveals himself to you, you'll never understand him. By the way, you do know, do you not, that the last book in the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. People say, I read that book and I don't understand it. I'm not surprised. You will not understand that book unless Christ reveals it to you. It's his revelation. But if you ever see Christ and he's in the book, look for him in that book. You'll understand that book. He's in there all the way through. And he reveals the book. And so that when children of God read this book, we say, now it makes sense. I've heard my wife say that many occasions as we studied the book of Revelation on Tuesday nights. I've heard my wife on many occasions after the lesson, or maybe a day or two after the lesson, say, you know what? I never understood that before. But now it's being revealed. We beheld his glory when men look at Jesus Christ, when sinners look at Jesus Christ, when he is beheld by the wicked and evil people, what do they see? Nothing but that man looks very attractive to me. Especially when they behold him on the tree, mangled, bruised, beaten, whipped. That's what the world sees. When we look at him, what do we see? When Christ is revealed to him, what do you say? I did not know you were so glorious. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only Son. The only begotten Son the Father has. You say, when was he born? Jehovah told us. In Psalm number 2. He said, this day I have begotten you. What was that day? That was in eternity. Which means there never was a time when he came into existence. He has always been God's only begotten Son. But he always has been God's Son. Or else, There was a time when the Father was not the Father. You cannot be a father without having a son or a daughter. You must have one begotten. There always has been God the Father, and there always has been God the Son, and He is God's only begotten Son. In Proverbs 8, Jesus Christ speaks as the divine wisdom, and He speaks of what it was like before the foundation of the world, before the world was created. And He says, I was daily His delight. Daily His delight. It's like a little child. A little child. They're so delightful. I just got to spend some time with my grandchildren. My grandson, my granddaughter. Have one of each. And from the time, from the first time I saw them, I was delighted with everything they did and everything they said. Just loved to be in their presence. That was the relationship between the Father and the Son before the foundation of the world. I was daily His delight. Now, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You ever heard the expression, like Father, like Son? Sometimes you can tell. Sometimes you can tell who the father of a boy is by the way the boy acts. He acts just like his father. That can be good and that can be bad. We beheld His glory. What kind of glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Do you want to know what God the Father is like? Look at Christ. He's just like Him. He's just like His Father. Jesus talks like His Father, walks like His Father, acts like His Father. The only begotten has the glory of His Father. If you want to see the glory of God the Father, look at Jesus Christ. He shows it. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, notice this, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What's grace? It can mean a number of things. It can mean beauty of form and beauty of movement. You may look at a beautiful woman and you say, she's got grace. And she acts gracefully. But it can also mean something else. It can mean unmerited favor. And I love that definition. I'm glad there is unmerited favor. Some people say, I want God to give me what I deserve. Oh God, never give me what I deserve. Never give me what I deserve. If God gives me what I deserve, I'm going to hell right now. That's what I deserve. Oh God, give me what I do not deserve. I want unmerited favor. And here comes Jesus and He's full of it. He's full of it. Jesus comes into this world and the Father says, here, Son, here's my favor. Here are my blessings. You take them into the world and give them away. And here comes Jesus into the world and He's full of grace, full of unmerited favor. And I'm so glad, because if I am ever to be saved, I need every bit of it. I need every grace that He can give unto me. And you're just as bad a sinner as I am. Are you not? Admit it. Be truthful. Are you glad He's full of grace and truth? Some people say, well, you know, I kind of think I'm good myself. Then you don't need Him, do you? If you think there's any goodness in you, you don't need Christ. In fact, He might need you, you might think, if you think you don't need Him. No. When Jesus comes to me, I want him to bring every grace he's got because I need them all. And he's full of it. Full of grace and full of truth. Full of truth. Full of truth. Did he not say, I am the way, the truth? Not only is he true, not only is he truthful, he is the truth. And in him there is no lie. You may say, well now, Pastor, when you speak, are you true? I try to be. But even the most truthful person I know tells lies, sometimes without knowing it. Especially when somebody told you a lie and you repeat it to someone else. You told a lie, although you thought you were speaking truth. He never did so. He's full of truth. Every word he spoke. When I was a wee lad, my mother could always spot me telling a lie. Of course, I have difficulty telling a lie with a straight face. And I know, you know, when I lie, I have to smile. I'm sorry, I can't help it. Of course, you say, well, you're smiling now. Yeah, but I'm not lying. Really, I'm not. But my mother could spot it every time. Son, did you do this? No, Mama, I didn't do that. You're lying again. All right? He never told a lie. He never told a lie. I cannot comprehend that. I sometimes tell lies when I don't want to in repeating things that are not true. He never told a lie. He's full of truth. Well, I am so glad. Because I am so full of falsehood, I need every bit of truth I can get. And he's got it all. He has it all. I'm not going to finish this message today, because I have not even gotten to the text yet. But I'm going to take you there now. And then we'll close and finish up next week, God willing. All right. Look in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him through him, and the world did not recognize him. But it goes further than that. Look in verse number 11. He came to his own countrymen. I tell you right now, folks, they were looking for him. He was prophesied. He came to them, and his own did not receive him. What could be worse for me? Then for me to go see my wife and she say, don't want you around anymore. It's devastating. Go see my children. And they say, we don't want you around anymore. Can you imagine? What is more devastating than your own kith and kin, your relatives, your family, your siblings? That happened to him. He came to his own, and they did not receive him. Why did they not receive him? I mean, he's full of glory. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. He's full of salvation. He's full of everything you need. Why would you not want Him? Why did they not receive Him? Because they rejected Him. They rejected Him. Well, I would not leave you on such a sad note as that. Look in verse number 12. But as many as received Him. Some did. Some did. As many as received Him. You know what He did for them? He gave to them the right to become children of God. God's only begotten Son came to those who received Him and said, I'm going to make you God's children too. Who are they to those who believe in His name? How do you receive Christ? Believing in Him. Who were born? They were born. Born again. Because they were born the first time. And then they either rejected or received Him after they were born. And if they received Him, it is because they were born the second time. And it was not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And that, my friend, is the gospel. You will either reject it or receive it. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You cannot look at Christ without having an opinion. I preach the gospel today. You will either believe it or disbelieve it. You will either receive Him or reject Him. And I hope and pray that before you walk out that door, you'll say, I'm one of those as many as received Him. I believe Him. I believe He is the eternal divine Word. I believe He was with God and was God even from eternity. I believe that He created all things and that He Himself is not a creature made by someone else. I believe that He came into this world as God manifested in the flesh. I believe that He revealed His glory, and I believe I have seen His glory. I know that He's the only begotten of the Father. I know He's full of grace and He's full of truth, and I need every bit of it. And I believe that, and I want it, and I will receive it. And if you will, He'll give it. Now, will you reject Him or receive Him? Oh God, our Father, bless, we pray, this word to the glory of Your Son. And oh, may none of us here today be one who rejects Your Son. Let all of us be found among those who receive Him for whom He is and what He is, gladly and with great welcome. To Your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.